Okay, everyone, welcome. This is the staying productive and sane topic in our COVID-19 survival series for self-employed professionals. I'm CJ Hayden speaking, and co-hosting with us today is Chris Carey. Say hi, Chris.
Hello, hello, hello.
So here is our mindset for today. This crisis that we're all in is very, very real. It's also unavoidable. It's also worldwide. Everybody in the world is dealing with illness, with death, with economic impact. Most people in the world are right now under stay-at-home orders. We don't know how long this whole thing is going to last, but it is temporary. So we may need to come up with solutions to help us in the short term to survive this, but it will at some point be over. So here in this space, while we're experiencing this crisis, we're going to be pragmatic and solution focused. We're not going to do fear mongering or blaming, but we're also not going to do happy talk because this is hard and it's going to be hard. But we are all in this together, by which I mean all of us self-employed professionals are having to face some similar issues, even though we may be in very different places in how we deal with them. So that is the mindset that we're going to use to move forward with this program today on the topic of staying productive and sane. So if you're on video right now, please turn off your camera. You can find your attendee controls bar either at the top or the bottom of the screen and just click stop video or the camera icon in order to turn your camera off. And remember to hold questions and comments that you want to make verbally until we call for them about halfway through, a little bit past halfway through. But if you have comments that you want to type into chat for those of you who are online, feel absolutely free to do so. So we're going to kick off our conversation here today by remembering that this is a conversation among colleagues. So please keep personal information confidential. You're welcome to share with anyone your own personal experience of this conversation, but you're not permitted to share anyone else's name or identifying details without their explicit permission. We are recording today, and the recording will be shared with others. If you say something and you would prefer it not appear in the recording, notify us, and we'll edit it out. So our first topic today is going to be talking about relieving stress and worry and sleeplessness. And oh boy, is there a lot of that going on, right? Pretty much everybody is experiencing some level of anxiety or struggle or grief or insecurity. You may be feeling burned out. You may be feeling angry. There may be a lot of different things that are going on for you, and maybe all of them at once, or at least all of them in one day. And I think one of the things to really help that is to try to normalize your experience. So what I mean by normalize your experience is to recognize that what you're experiencing is normal. It's widespread. All of us are experiencing some level of these things that you're feeling and experiencing. So because there's so much that we could potentially say about all of these topics today, I've sprinkled some links throughout these slides. And if you, after today's session, want to delve further into any one of these topics that we're talking about, you can go back through the slides. Everybody that got an email also got a link to where the slides are. And you can click through and read something that I've found helpful on that particular topic. So if you were to look under Normalize Your Experience, for example, you'd find a piece that was in Self titled 17 Totally Normal Things to Feel Right Now According to Therapists. So that's something you can do beyond the session to help you work through whatever might be happening. So that's the first tip I have, is normalize your experience. The second one is to name the feelings that you're having. You know, anytime that you can put a label on something, it really helps to diminish it. And there have been a number of scientific psychological studies on this thing, this phenomenon of name what it is that you're feeling, and you'll find it helpful. And if you're having difficulty in putting a name on, well, what is this? Am I worried? Am I anxious? Am I sad? What's going on with me? Think about how you can get them out. Talk about them with somebody. Write about them. Sing them, sculpt them, dance them, whatever modality really helps you to be able to get out of inside yourself whatever is percolating down in there, and really give it a label. And that's going to help you get a handle on it. I know that many people find journaling helpful at this point. Some of us who are more visual find it more helpful to actually create images that represent what the feelings are, whatever works for you. So the third thing that I would put on this list of how to relieve stress and worry and sleeplessness would be, try to take control of what you can. So much of what's going on feels like things that are just completely out of our control. We can't do anything about it. So look at what you can control. You know, it sounds really boring and like advice your mother would give you, but if you eat healthy food and you try and eat meals at normal, regular times of the day, and you do the same thing with sleep, even if you're experiencing sleeplessness, try to sleep at the same hours daily. Try to get a regular routine into your body with eating and sleeping. It also really, really helps to get exercise in there, whether that is going outside to take a walk or using a step device in front of your television or walking up and down the stairs or whatever it is that you can find. Recommended is 30 minutes a day if you can do it. Some of you may have a whole workout routine going at home, and that's great. And what you can do for your brain about stabilizing is every single day, make sure that you're taking at least 30 minutes to rest your brain. So at least 30 minutes when your brain is not thinking. Okay, what does that look like for some of you? It could be meditation. You may have a regular meditation practice, or meditation might be new to you. Or maybe it's drawing. Or maybe it's needlework, which is one of the things I happen to do to rest my brain, because my hands can just do it and my brain can rest. Or simply just sitting and staring out the window. Get that brain rest also into the sequence, because that's something that you can control that many people find can be completely stabilizing. And the one other thing on that list of things that you can do to take control and stabilize yourself is talk to other humans, right? Because it's very easy to go through a whole day in some circumstances and not talk to anybody. So try to make sure that that happens daily, even if you have to put it on a list and check it off to remember that it's a really good idea to at least once a day talk to some other humans. And if you're in a situation where there's six people in your house and you're talking to other humans all the time and you're tired of it, great. Flip that advice on its ear and take some time to go lock yourself in a room where you can be alone. Those are some of the simple things that you may be able to have some control over. A couple more recommendations. Limit news consumption to brief amounts of credible sources. And if you're wondering, okay, well, what is a credible source? I've provided a link to an article on that topic that'll give you some ideas of where you could be looking for credible sources. And simultaneously, try to avoid consuming or spreading misinformation. There's a link about that too that'll give you some more information about, okay, how do I determine if something is misinformation? Because I find that under these circumstances, that's part of what adds to our stress and our worry, is if we get a lot of misinformation in there, in addition to all of the real information, which frankly is quite scary enough a lot of the time. And the last piece of advice I'll have is try to spend at least some time daily doing something you enjoy or something with your kids that makes you feel positive. So if you're by yourself or just home with another adult, try to make it, just something that you enjoy doing. And if you've forgotten what you enjoy doing, well, there's a link there to give you some suggestions for things that you might potentially enjoy. And if you've got kids in the house and you're spending a lot of time doing homeschooling maybe, and just trying to keep the house clean and keep kids from going crazy, think about doing some specific, enjoyable, positive activities with your kids. And if you've run out of ideas, the link that I put on the slide has 250 ideas for things that you can do with your kids. So those are some suggestions about ways to go about relieving stress and worry and sleeplessness. A lot of stuff there and lots of things I could say, which is why I decided let's just put a bunch of links in there for people to be able to go and explore things later on that might be of particular concern to you. So Chris, anything that you would add to or say about that laundry list of possibilities?
I feel like we could just talk about this, just this one slide for a couple of hours, because CJ and I both wanted to do the naming the feelings pretty much on every slide, because that seems to be such a big one. You know, it's very much the low hanging fruit, I think, in terms of just helping yourself get a little bit more grounded in the moment. So if you can name your feelings, and we'll talk about that more in a minute, you're already, you know, more than a step or two ahead of the game. And I was just listening, I like to listen to podcasts. I was listening to Her Money with Jean Chatsky today. And one of the podcasts I heard was about giving your brain a break and disconnecting, breaking up with your technology, even if it's just for a little while. I guess I listened to it yesterday, because last night I turned my phone off at 8 o'clock at night, which is just not something I normally do. And I didn't turn it on again until this morning. And I had a couple of texts, but you know, it's not like the world came to a crashing halt, and it was really lovely to not hear the ding or anticipate that there might even be a ding of anything coming from my telephone. So I wholeheartedly agree with these things. And just feeling like you're in control. There's got to be a reason why a lot of us have hyper cleaned the house, right? It's like the only thing you feel like you can control at the moment. So just get in there and control it. So it doesn't really matter what you control. It does help have that tiny bit of feeling.
Yeah, I completely agree. So Chris, let's move to the next topic where you were going to talk about the naming thing too. And the category we decided on for Chris's topic here would be discovering the best use of you during this crisis.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little esoteric. We didn't exactly know what to name it, but there's all these concepts that come around of, again, name what's going on so that you can lean into it. So the more you understand where you're at, the more you're at choice about what you want to do with that information. So if you name it like, I'm sad, then you could just lean into it more and maybe watch a sad movie or call a friend and say, I'm sad, or, you know, hang on to your box of Kleenex and keep it real handy, or whatever you need to do. Or you could say, I'm angry, or today I actually feel great, even though that feels counterintuitive at the moment. Whatever it is that you have named, the more you can go into that feeling, the more you basically get through it. If there's a stuffing it or pretending like it doesn't exist is not going to sort it out. Being with it, which is a little bit more about what we'll talk about in a second here, the more you be with it, the more you can, the more you are at choice with how, what you're going to do with that. So let's look at, I'm going to hop down there to the ontology versus psychology versus doingology, which is a very technical term. If we want to look at these things, you may be familiar with ontology versus psychology. Ontology is the study of the state of being. So it really is concerned with who you are as a human being rather than as a human doing. And psychology is more about how you're feeling. So we want to acknowledge how you're feeling, to be sure. Having said that, that's only one perspective on life. It's the one that most of us, the doing and the psychology, the feeling, are generally the ones that we tend to go to as our default modes, because nobody really learns about ontology in high school, or I certainly didn't. It wasn't until coaching school, actually, and other self-development work that I did, that I ran into the concept of who am I being in the face of all of this. So if I look at who I'm being, it changes the questions. It's a different question from how do I feel or what am I doing? So I can be doing something, I can feel lousy about it, but if I look at who I'm being, the question is more like, am I willing? What am I willing to do here? What am I at choice about? I might be having a feeling. Do I want that feeling to run me right now? Or would I like to make another choice and go into this state of being so I'm not being busy and rushed and all that stuff? More like just go into my internal place. So it could be meditation or stillness of some kind, nature walks or journaling. These are things that people do a lot for that. But the ontological state is really like stepping outside of your psychology into the observer's position so you can look back upon yourself. So I'll say that one more time. It's like instead of being in your feelings, you step outside yourself. Now you're an observer of your own life. And from that place, you get to ask different questions. What would I like to do right now? How am I feeling versus what would I like to be doing about that? It just changes the conversation. So I'm happy to talk about that more during the question period if you've got any confusions there. So then looking back, we have our strengths, we have our superpowers. We want to make sure that we are using those for good rather than evil during this crisis, because the more we can go with whatever our natural flow is, the better it's going to be. And that's what our superpowers are, right? The way that we naturally are and our strengths is a pretty easy state for most of us to be in. Of course, we need to make sure that you're putting your own oxygen mask on first. I just heard it on the radio again this morning, that whole thing from the airlines where they show the mother putting the thing on the child first, or on herself first and then on the child. Not sure we would all be quite so calm if that was actually happening in front of us, but nonetheless, if we don't save ourselves, we can't save anybody else. So as much as possible, make sure you're practicing self-care, which is the kind of stuff that CJ's talking about. And you just have to be real about what's going on at the moment and live from this place, not the idealized version of what you think this place is supposed to be like or how you're supposed to be in this. We joked a little bit in the sales copy that went out about, you know, who are all these people that are baking bread and making sourdough starter and all that stuff. And if that's your jam, that's awesome. And if it's not, don't even worry about it. That's some idealized life that may or may not actually be a good fit for you. And so that's what we want. We want to be just doing the stuff that is a good fit for you at the moment. You first, everybody else second. Caretaking of you first, everything else second. Yeah. Any other thoughts about that? I know there's a lot. It's very dense. Again, all of these slides, we could spend more than 10 minutes on each of these slides for sure.
Yeah, I think we definitely could. You know, I really like the last point that you have on the slide, Chris, about discover and honor what's happening right now rather than live out of some idealized version of life. I think that a lot of times what's happening in this particular moment is we see other people's lives through the lens of social media. And it looks like, oh, they've got everything completely under control. Maybe they're doing some sort of volunteer effort and making face masks, or else they don't have really much going on in the way of work right now. And so they're baking muffins, right? And we see that and we go, oh, you know, that's what I should be doing. But we have to remember that people's lives on social media are curated. We're only seeing what they want us to see. So we're not seeing them lying awake for 3 hours in the middle of the night. We're not seeing them completely falling apart when they get a phone call from a friend who's in trouble. these things are not what they're choosing to post about. So we have to honor what's happening right now for us instead of looking at, all right, well, that should of what's going on for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's something going on that you're seeing that you'd like to try or adopt, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. I love taking inspiration from other people. But, you know, when my friend posted on Facebook yesterday that she had just made what looked like a pretty perfect batch of English muffins, it's like, you know, I am out of here. That is not going to happen over at this house. Yeah.
So that brings us to our next topic here. And that is about this whole issue of managing time and space and projects and responsibilities. You know, I know that this is a big topic for most of us right now. And I wanted to remind everyone of Parkinson's Law, or tell you about Parkinson's Law if you've never run across it before. Work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion. If you're given an hour to complete a task, you make the task fit into the hour. But if you're given 8 hours to complete that same task, well, guess what? You can make it take 8 hours. So it's really important if you are lacking structure in your day, maybe because now you're working at home and you used to work in an office, maybe because now you're doing your art in your house instead of you used to go out and do it in a studio. Maybe what's going on is you've got a completely upside down schedule because here's your kids at home when they used to be at school. There's a zillion different things that can have upended whatever was true for you before. So it's really valuable to look at what kind of structure do you want to have in your day to give it a good balance between work, home and family, self-care, and downtime. And I'm actually going to pop this tool I've linked to here up on the screen because it's a way that a colleague of mine, who I think is here with us today, actually came up with to help people do exactly this thing of creating structure that creates a balance. So what I just put up on the screen is an image of two different master planning schedules for people who have very different lives. There's one here on the left that shows somebody who's dividing their time up in one way, and one on the right that shows somebody who's dividing their time in a different way. And having this kind of big picture image of how do I want to be spending my weeks and my days, I think can be really, really helpful. And if any of you have questions about that, and if Raven is here with us today, she may be able to answer questions about that idea some more too.
She is here, yeah.
Okay, great. So I think that we need to pay attention to the same issue of structure for whatever our quarantining space is in creating boundaries for what our activities are and who the occupants of the space are, so that everything doesn't just bleed into everything else. You know, if you're in a situation where you didn't used to work at home and now you need to, there's some space that needs to be carved out for that instead of it trying to happen in the middle of everything that is there. If you've always worked at home, but maybe your spouse didn't, and now your spouse is at home, either also working at home, or heaven forbid, not working at all, because that's definitely worse, right? There needs to be some boundaries there, not just in time, but in space. So that is a way that you can create more structure that allows you to do a less stressful job at managing all the different things that are going on for you. Normally, when I talk about managing to-dos, I tell people, well, you know, you have to experiment and find the thing that really works for you. And that is a long-term solution. Here's an immediate short-term solution. Forget about figuring out a way of managing to-dos that works for you in the long term. Just grab one that works for you right now today. And the one that I find that in an emergency situation works really well for everybody is the 3-item to-do list. Every day, have 3 things that you know that you need to accomplish. Get them done first. And at the end of the day, make your 3-item list for tomorrow, because that's what's going to enable you to de-stress and turn off the worry if you know, oh, I've got at least that under control. We talked a couple of minutes ago about prioritizing based on real needs and wants rather than shoulds. And Chris is going to say some more about that shortly. But again, do that normalizing thing for that enables you to forgive yourself if you feel scattered or unfocused or paralyzed, and you see all of those other people out there who seem to be just getting things done, right? Maybe that's not you. Well, guess what? It probably isn't them either. They're just showing you what they did get done as a way to say, ta-da, I did this. So they may be having exactly the same feelings you're having if indeed you are feeling scattered and unfocused and paralyzed. I linked to a tweet there from Haley Nauman that was labeled, "You don't have to make the most of a global pandemic."
Nice.
Yeah. Anything you'd like to add to that, Chris?
I'm just cracking up because some of the people on the call I know are familiar with the StrengthsFinder, and I've got Maximizer in my top 10. So I'm laughing because, of course, I would have to maximize a pandemic because, you know, you couldn't just possibly let it be on its own. Got to figure out how to do whatever that maximizing thing is. And I, so that just cracked me up. So the 3-item list is something that I've used as well. And when I get into the groove of just do 3 things, life just gets so much simpler. So if I was going to emphasize anything in terms of the how do you prioritize your self-care first, you know, put your oxygen mask on first. So you are the first priority. You're the care and feeding of you. And then from that place, you've got however much bandwidth left to contribute to the care and feeding of your business, the other humans and animals, the planet, et cetera, et cetera. So let's just prioritize, let's make sure that you are on the priority list and let's put you first. And you may have noticed that I'm drinking a large cup of Phil's coffee today. They decided to open the Phil's coffee. I'm in San Francisco, so they opened the Phil's coffee location that's pretty close to my house, not even 5 minutes. And you have to order online and then you can swing by and they just hand it to you out the door. So I went and did that today as a way of doing these things that CJ is talking about, prioritizing my own self-care, making some boundaries to between personal life and then work life. And just, you know, it's interesting, the little things, you know, how much pleasure can $5 of fufu coffee buy me? The answer is quite a bit, and it's worth the time. So that went on my to-do list today was, you know, okay, I'm not going to do this every day. I don't want to spend the money that way. I don't certainly want to leave the house in that way all the time. But this feels important for the moment. I need the mental shift. So I'm going to go do it.
It's great. And that's perfectly in line with the idea of, you know, finding time to do things you enjoy.
Exactly. Exactly. And I do love going out for a good fufu coffee.
Yeah. So let's switch to our next slide, although I do see a couple of things here in the chat. Charlotte told a funny story, so anybody who's online can read that in the chat. Sue, you asked a question, so hold on to that question. And when we open up for questions, you can ask it. And Barbara says, the occasional coffee has really helped with giving me a tiny bit of normalcy. Yeah, no kids.
Exactly. I hear you. I just, you know, it's good. And with Phil's app now, I feel like a Phil's commercial. I don't have to wait in line because Phil's is not a fast place to go get a coffee. So a lot of times that's what I want. I want slow coffee. But if you want it quick, that app is like lightning fast. So finding a productive rhythm and again, looking at your priorities. So there's this concept that we've been dancing around, which is following the energy. Like, where is your energy? Your energy may be towards making those beautiful muffins or baking that bread or solving world peace or something that feels really big to some other folks of us. Your energy could also be something really small, like I'm going to do something that feels normal and buy a coffee and make an event out of that. So wherever your energy is right now, that's what we were talking about earlier. When you name something and then you lean into the realization of what you've named, that's what this following the energy is. Now you get to go even deeper down that rabbit hole of, okay, I've named it. Now I'm going to run with whatever that is, and I'm going to keep following the energy of that until I feel like the energy shifted or it's complete or like I'm just at this place where I know I'm good. So following the energy is like there's a natural rhythm that most of us have through our day. Maybe we're more morning people or evening people, or we like to do certain tasks at certain times because our brain is fresher, just in a different headspace. So we prioritize different times of the day for different types of activities. That's part of what Joan's little map was about, is figuring those things out for yourself. And that is a nice longer term solution. So in the short term, if we're looking at following the energy, it's really like, what are the three things? My energy is around self-care, making sure we fit, and I had to do that one thing for my business today because I wanted to reach out to a client. That's your whole to-do list for the day. You could just run with that. So that comment there about prioritizing what's most important that's going to serve you and the other people, what I like to think of this is as a yes and type of situation rather than an either or, which is how a lot of us hold it. Either I help myself or I help the client. I help myself or I help my neighbor. I help myself or I help my hubby. So the neighbor, the client, the hubby tend to go first. But what I'm saying is, what's the yes and version? And I've been called selfish for this more than a few times, and I'll go ahead and take that if that's how it lands for people, because I stand by this concept of, I know pretty much in every situation I think I've ever been in, that there's a solution that will be of service to both of us, where we will both get as much of what we want as is possible, where we both feel taken care of. Just think back to one of the times when you didn't want to do something or were afraid to go and say something to somebody. And as soon as you spoke up, they said, oh, thank goodness, I was thinking the same thing. So this is that type of concept. So let's look for where you can be of service to yourself and service to the other people in your lives. So there's along with this, there's a level of monkey mind conversation that comes into play. Monkey mind, remember, is this part of your brain that chatters and it swings from worry to doubt, back to worry and back to doubt. It's the place that CJ was referring to when you wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning and your brain is swirling. And if you're me, you have to turn on Neil deGrasse Tyson's Star Talk podcast to get your brain to calm down so you can go back to sleep. Because who doesn't love a good astrophysicist? Your own personal astrophysicist, as he always is saying about himself. So understanding that you've got this part of your brain that is going to do this crazy stuff to you because it's in survival mode, right? It's like if we've got Maslow's pyramid here, what's happening in this pandemic, the bottom couple of rungs of Maslow's pyramid are food, shelter, safety, belonging. Those are feeling. They very much could be feeling like you're under attack at the moment, which is what stirs up your monkey mind because it's your limbic brain. It's your fight or flight. It's been triggered. There's a crisis. It's designed to get triggered during a crisis. So the system within our bodies is working fine. However, the problem is that it doesn't know how to calm down and it doesn't have a level of discernment that our higher human brain has. So that's why I say let's understand what's real versus what's monkey mind and go with what's real. So sometimes you may need to call a friend or check a resource to see is what I'm thinking for reals or not, because your mind can play tricks on you that way. So just notice if you're in this more fight or flight mode, it'll have a sense of urgency and breathlessness and like I have to do it. And if you're in that type of thing, that is not reality. talk yourself down on off the ledge there. Go do one of those things that you enjoy. Get the coffee or whatever it is. And please, please, please do not try to push yourself and make yourself do something because you think you're supposed to. Let go of the quarantine goals, you know. I've heard all kinds of things about there's the quarantine 15, like we're all going to gain 15 pounds because we're hanging around the house and the fridge a little bit too much. I've heard the quarantine 15 in the other ways, like I'm going to lose 15 pounds because what else have I got to do except exercise every day and, you know, cook chard. So don't get caught up in any of that stuff. If those things are your jam, like I said, that's great. Let's run with it. But if it's not, then just let that stuff go. You be you, you do you the way you know how. And, just recognize that you, your life, and probably your work is not going to look the way that it did before. And that's okay too. There's a different normal sheriff in town right now, so to speak. So we're going to figure out what that means and run with it as long as we need to. And I heard a thing this morning, again, I listened to a lot of podcasts and radio the past couple of days, all positive upbeat stuff, but they were saying that it's, Charles Duhigg was being interviewed again by Gene Chatsky, and he's the guy that wrote The Power of Habit. And he was talking about this is a disruption in our normal routines, our normal habits are out of whack, probably for the most part. And so that's okay. When we get back to whatever normalcy looks like, a lot of those habits and ways of being will come back with them. The positive ones that we want back, hopefully not so much of the negative ones. So just know that a lot of that is waiting for you at the end. And as for now, let's just run with what is. Keep following the energy in that way. Any other thoughts about those things, CJ? I know you're a big fan of not trying to push, for sure.
Yes, I am. And actually, I'm ready to stop talking and let some other folks ask questions and make contributions. So I'm going to take the slides off. And a reminder at this point that you can toggle in the upper right on most systems between gallery view and speaker view so that you don't get, instead of lots of little boxes with nothing in them, you get one big image of whoever's speaking at the time. If you're on mobile, you can do the same thing by swiping between the little thumbnails at the bottom of your screen. And anybody who has something to ask or to say, raise your hand at this point. Look for the raise hand button either in participants or more, or if you're on the phone, I don't think anybody is today, but if you were, star 9. So Barbara S., come on video if you like, and come on audio.
Good morning.
Hey, Barbara.
Hey. So I had, I feel kind of emotionally in a limbo state because I lost my dad at the very beginning of this, right? I went back to visit him. It was my parents' anniversary, and then we had a couple visits. And he was in a nursing home, and then the nursing home closed because of the virus. And then I came back here, and then a couple days later, he passed away. Not from this virus. This was kind of expected, or, you know, could have happened anytime. Then I couldn't go back for the funeral. So I am one of those people that I like to be at home, but I feel like I'm almost in this real limbo because I'm not processing any of it. I can't process any of it normally, right? So I don't know where I am. That's where I am.
Yeah, that's a tough place to be. And Barbara, you're not the only person I know in exactly that same situation. And yeah, it's rough not being able to grieve in a normal way following the ways that we humans have put in place to help us do that.
And there's a lot of people feeling you in the chat, Barbara.
Yeah.
So big. I mean, this is a time that I think we're all in emotional limbo anyway, and to have something that feels hard to sort of park in your brain on a normal day is just heightened during this crazy time. And
Yeah.
Definitely. I hope you're doing something kind for yourself.
Yeah.
Good. Many things.
I'm here.
Great. Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you.
Welts. Armand. Feel free to come on video if you like, and come on audio.
Hello.
Hey.
I just wanted to share a tip. I don't know if it's been, if something similar has been shared in one of your other calls. I've only been on one of them before, so forgive me if this all has already been mentioned. Sure. But what I've found very useful is to actually team up with other people in my situation who are in the same business of consultancy, the same type of consultancy. We are actually right now preparing a joint campaign, joint marketing campaign. And I think it's been useful for a number of reasons so far. It helps generate some energy and some positivity amongst us, because we're all in the same boat. We all have something to offer. I just want to pass that on, if that's helpful to anybody.
Thank you, Armand. That's great. And, I really love the sentiment of we're all in the same boat. And I know that I've said multiple times here in this series, we're all in this together, because I think we are all in this together. And I want to take that boat image and tweak it a little bit. And I saw this on social media, somebody suggesting that actually we may not be all in the same boat, but we're in the same storm. Our boats might look very, very different, but we're all in the same storm. And that is the thing that we share, is we're coming up with our own ways of having to survive in the storm based on what our own unique situations are. And I really liked that metaphor. I thought it was very apt. So thank you for nudging on that, so I remembered it.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I do appreciate that, because I've got clients who are crickets. There's nothing going on in their business. And I've got clients in different areas who are so busy, they cannot even keep their head above water. And so it depends on what industry you're in. It depends on what state you're in, like literally physically state and country, and also mental state. So there's a lot happening. Not everybody's definitely not in the same boat, but we're all in the same ocean, navigating our own little rowboats with just a couple of oars, which doesn't feel like the best way to navigate a big stormy sea, but that's what we got. Yeah.
Susanna says something very apt in this conversation, where she says, I'm an introvert who tended to feel unfocused and overwhelmed under the old normal. And I find myself thriving in this drastically slowed down environment that allows for ample opportunity to feel and reflect, not to forget for a minute how awful this situation is. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that you are not alone in that either, Susanna, going, oh, there's pieces of this I wish I could have all the time. And those of us who feel that way sometimes might also feel a little bit of guilt around that. Like, you know, maybe I shouldn't be enjoying this. But if that's what's so for you, right? If the current situation is working, great. Take it. Run with it. Make use of it.
And, you know, how can we carry part of that forward with us? Because I had that exact conversation with a client yesterday who's an introvert. And she's like, it turns out there's a lot more opportunities here than I realized that were even available. And this whole quarantine thing has actually been really good for me as an introvert. And, you know, I'm not trying to capitalize on stuff that we wish wasn't happening, but, you know, it's a nice silver lining to just see that the world could work at a different pace that was perhaps a little more suited for you.
Yeah.
And so it makes me curious how to bring that forward whenever things start to open back up and change again. How can I keep some of this stillness and spaciousness that I've discovered as an introvert? Yeah.
I like that. Let me call on Raven. Your hand is up. Feel free to come on video and come on audio.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
All of these points are so pertinent, and yes, depth. But I think possibly for the first time, I think it was yesterday morning, I woke up and the previous 2 days I was just really depressed. So besides what's going on here, there's a lot going on in my personal life. And I have a writing practice in the morning. That's how I start my day because I often wake up in fear. I just wake up in fear. I don't even know if it's mine or the collective. So I write. And when I was writing yesterday morning, I wrote, I'm depressed. And then it was like, oh, I've been depressed. And it lifted. So I just wanted to give credence to that statement. I don't think I've ever directly experienced that so clearly. Because what I noticed is I was actually resisting being depressed, feeling that way. And once I stopped resisting, it could move. And the other thing is I didn't tune in to any conversation about what's going on in the world yesterday. And I noticed I was actually yesterday evening, no fear. Like I wasn't living in fear. So that other point of be careful what we consume, and I think it's okay to turn it off. It's still going on, but I actually forgot that I should be worried. I even went to the grocery store and I wasn't worried. So I'm just saying, encouraging anything to go to that number one point that's been made a few times to protect yourself, including from what's incoming, so that you could have your own thoughts about everything is really useful at this time. And I was happy, and I was like, oh, am I supposed to be happy right now? So yeah. we get to when we have those moments.
Yeah. Totally.
You're allowed to be depressed. You're allowed to be happy. You know, it's interesting how we make up rules about how we're supposed to feel and all that stuff. And I loved what you just said. It's great. There's some really good stuff in the chat too. You know, Barbara said that she's also an introvert and she's been noticing a lot of her clients are anxious and she's had to set boundaries to not absorb that anxiety. And also to not answer phone calls from people if she knows they're going to have a meltdown or something like that, to just have a little bit more of a buffer. You know, that's part of why I turned my phone off, and I haven't really looked at my phone much today either, because I know one of my closest friends is in what I think of as the twister. I don't really want to get in the twister with her. So I'm happy to support her as best I can. But right now, I think for both of our sake, it's probably best if I just supporting would mean not going near the twister. Right.
Yeah, I think that's a piece of self-care that we're not always willing to do because we feel like, oh, I should be there for my friend. Okay, yeah, we should all be there for our friends in whatever way works for everybody. It's that yes and thing Chris was talking about. So I have a friend who every time I talk to him just goes down in this horrible, spirally, panicky place. Mm. And I am absolutely willing to talk to that friend once a week. But I'm not willing to talk to him more often than that because he'll take me down there with him and I don't want to go there. It takes me too long to recover from that and then be available to other people. So we have to have those boundaries when they seem necessary. That's the oxygen mask.
Well, and this is a good point. So Liz, who doesn't want to, you know, speak up on camera about this, has put in the chat that she's really feeling the divide between the haves and the have-nots right now. Yeah. And there was an article or audio article on forum today, KQED's forum, about the history of pandemics and smallpox. And they were giving a story of, I want to say it was Chicago maybe, that the wealthy people could shelter in place because their houses were big and they had lots of space. But the people who weren't wealthy were forced into hospitals because their quarters were too cramped and they were worried about the disease spreading. And it caused riots and revolts and rebellions, and it did not go well. Right, because people were not at choice and they were not, they just were told what to do. And they gave a different example of New York a handful of years later. I think these were smallpox outbreaks. And so the mayor took a note from what happened in the other city and said, please do what you can to stay away from each other. I don't want to make anybody have to go into a, you know, certain space. And because he spoke to them differently and they just sort of handled it differently, the whole thing went so much smoother and nobody really got ill. So there is a lot of inequity happening. There's a lot of us being treated like children, but also there's other sources where they're not treating us like children. And that's where you need to be discerning, as CJ has mentioned, about where you get your news sources from. I don't always get all my news from the same source or from the same country, quite frankly. So I just feel like I like a broader perspective because, as we've already noticed, there's more than one way to view this on multiple fronts.
Yeah. Yeah, there definitely is. And I think, again, we have to look for what we control. Completely with you on the whole inequity thing. And sometimes I just get so angry about that I just want to spit. The whole situation with the Paycheck Protection Loans, for those of you who are U.S. residents, which is most of us, but we do have people here from other countries today, which was a program for small business owners in the U.S. And the whole first round of financing was eaten up in just a few days. And the loans were, to a very large extent, given to much bigger businesses than was desirable. Let's put it that way, because the loans went through the banks and the banks chose to give the loans to people with whom they had an existing lending relationship because that's who they wanted to keep happy and that's what was easy for them. So instead of the little people who had no other credit getting the loans, people who already had lines of credit and extensive resources got many, many, many of the loans. Man, does that make me angry. It makes me absolutely furious every time I think about it. So what can I control about that? Number one, I can go and see, okay, are there any ways that people can get around that maybe I could find out about and help people? So I put the thing in chat a little bit earlier about, I discovered that PayPal and QuickBooks are offering Paycheck Protection Loans. Maybe that's an avenue for some people. What else could I do? I could write to my congressional representatives and say, I want this different, and I did that. Those things make me feel better. They're things that I can control. Can I change it? No, not all by myself, but can I do something about it? Yes, I can. And those are things that I chose to do about it.
Mm-hmm. There's some really rich stuff in the comments here. Charlotte feels guilty for not being in touch with her friends who want to be in touch, but it's just kind of too much to handle all at once. And I hear you. I didn't call my aunt back for several weeks until she called me again. And I just answered the phone with, sorry, I haven't called you. But at some point you just know when you're overstimulated or overcooked, as it were.
Yeah.
And then Karen mentions that she's a triple E off the charts extrovert, which if you had ever been near her physical energy, you would know that the woman is just like a one woman, you know, whatever energy ball in a really great way. And so she's finding ways to reach out and be with people because, of course, living alone and having to shelter in place, it's a bit much for someone who's an off-the-charts extrovert.
Yep.
But, you know, I was just typing a thing back to Rosalind. Rosalind has been having trouble grocery shopping, and people have mentioned having to wipe down your groceries and stuff. There's a new article about how you don't necessarily have to do that. So, again, starting to see some conflicting opinions about all those things. Pick a new source that sounds good to you. But I was just going to say that one of my off the chart extrovert clients was mentioning that he's been reaching out as well. But with groceries, because he doesn't have a car, he's been doing Instacart, and he says he loves it. And he's like, where has this been all my life? Why have I not been doing this already? And in my case, I've been using the Corner Grocery and a lot of Amazon or Thrive Market or, you know, online places like that you know to be, maybe a little bit easier than trying to haul yourself down to the Safeways of the world. So just some logistical things, but this is what we mean about taking care of yourself, right?
Figuring those things out. So I noticed the time. So we need to come to an official close here. So I see your hand, Ernesto, but we're not going to have time to call on you. So let me give our closing remarks. And then, as before in this series, anybody who wants to stay on and say hi, feel free to do that. But I want to honor the time of people who need to leave at the top of the hour. So next steps. This is the last of these sessions where we're going to have a formal agenda. But Chris and I want to stay available to all of you. So we're going to be holding office hours once a week for all of May. It's going to alternate between Fridays and Thursdays. So I just put the hours up on the screen. We're going to meet at this same time on Friday, May 1st, Thursday, May 7th, etc. You'll get an email with those dates and times in it to remind you. It's simply a free session to come and ask questions and share and talk about whatever you may be experiencing during this pandemic, whether it's about marketing your business or dealing with sleeplessness or whatever is going on. We'll open registration for that soon. You'll only need to register once for all of the sessions. You won't have to register each time. Remember to tell me if there's anything that you'd like deleted from the recording, and watch your email to register for the upcoming office hours sessions. If you have comments or questions or requests, you can mail me at contact@cjhayden.com or chris@coach@christinecarey.com. And just very quickly, because I know we're at the top of the hour, I put these closing remarks up here on the screen that I've spoken from before. And I just want to remind us all of the last one. If we continue to support each other, we can get through this. We can do this, but we do need to continue to support each other. So Chris and I are going to be here to help you get some support and help you provide some support to other people who are in the same boat as you. So I'm going to officially end the recording at this juncture, but anybody who wants to stay on and say hi, feel free to do that, and do watch your email for announcements of the upcoming sessions.